Let's pray. We thank you, Father, again for giving us this opportunity of hearing from you. Father, we know that you prepared blessings to every one of us, and we are ready to have those blessings in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's sit. Hello, everyone. I am very grateful for the Lord to have this opportunity of sharing his word with you. My name is Serge Kambale, and my friends call me Serge Sivia. I am a medical doctor, and I pray at Sebeka Himbi 1. Then this morning, we will have a short discussion about a topic that is a question. And the question we are going to discuss about is how a great commitment to the Great Commission makes great Christians. How a great commitment to the Great Commission makes great Christians. Then we will read two main texts. The first one is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll read two verses from the verse 32 to 33. The Bible says, "Live in such a way as to cause no trouble either to Jews or Gentiles or to the church of God. Just do as I do. I try to please everyone in all that I do, not thinking of my own good, but of the good of all, so that they might be saved. Amen." And 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. The Bible says, "Do your best to win full approval for God's sight as a worker who is not ashamed of his work, one who correctly teaches the message of God's truth." This is the word of God. Yes, in our first text, what we read is that may our behavior be not an occasion, and this is another translation of the Bible, another version. May your behavior be not an occasion of anyone to fall. And I use this term because I know that everyone will understand. Let us not our behavior be something that will bring other people to not remain in the faith. Instead, what we need to do is to do our best to please everyone and in everything. When I read this version where they say to please everyone in everything, I saw that this is a tough thing. It is difficult, perhaps impossible. And many people, they usually tell us that we don't need to please people. But here, Paul is saying that we need to please everyone in everything so that they may be saved. And as you know, the context of this text, 2 Corinthians, one, they are letters that was written by Paul. And Paul wrote this letter to the church that he founded 3 years ago in Corinth. And writing this text, this letter, we need to note that Paul is writing it to a church, to Christians, it's not to pagans, then it's as if someone can write a letter to us as Christians. Perhaps someone can write a letter to the church, to the Christian community of Gomaville. I don't know whom, but I suspect there is someone who may want to write a letter to you as a church. And in this letter, Paul is addressing some problems. Among those problems, there is the desertion among Christians. Also, the sexual immorality. And Paul is addressing the great problem of idolatry and even the problem of people who were quarreling about the nature and the distribution of the gift in the church. And to all these questions, Paul was able to give his thoughts and to answer. And for him, he wanted to let the church remain in the position they need to be. And this means that a church is not free from spiritual problems. I have been partaking to the Bible studies, and we went through this 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. And when you read things that are in that text, then you ask yourself whether these people are Christians. They even talk about people in the same church. A man is taking a wife of another in the church. Then when I read this, I said that perhaps it's possible, even today in our churches, to have these kind of things. Then we need to remember that a church is not immune from these kinds of problems, including things that we see in the environment of pagans. Also, this is a call. This text is a call to our leaders and to all of us to continually analyzing the church, not see only the number of people who are attending church activities, but to try to see how we behave, because we can be numerous, but the quality of us as Christians, perhaps it can be a problem. Then our leaders and all of us must ask questions about the quality and to analyze how we are behaving. Then in the chapter 10, it is mainly about idolatry. Here, Paul is addressing the question of idolatry. And he reminds the Corinthians that in Israel, people, they entered in idolatry. They worshipped false god. And the consequence of that was that many of them were killed. And here, Corinthians, they know that to worship false gods is not it's not good, it's a sin. But there is a question here that rose up. The question was, in their community, what about the to eat the food that was sacrificed to the idols? There were a problem of people in Corinthians. Other people were giving before eating food. They could sacrifice that food to the idols. And among the community of Christians in Corinth, this was a question, a tough question. Are we supposed to eat? If I go in a house of someone who sacrifice or who offer to idol his food, can I also partake and eat that food? And what is very interesting in this, in the answer of Paul here, is that when he is answering this question, he's not answering eat for the sake of the one who is gonna eat the food, but for the sake of other people who will see Christians doing that. He tried to show that perhaps it's not a problem because it's only food you can eat. But those people who are around you, Christians and non-Christian people, when they will see you eating that food, what is going to be their reaction? And the advice that Paul is giving here to the Corinthian Christians is to set aside their freedom to eat that food, even though it's not really a big problem. And the purpose of this advice is to avoid giving other people like a reason to say that these people are also partaking in worshiping these idols. Then here where we read, they suggest us that every choice that we make as Christians should be based on whether this activity brings glory to God. This is the first message that we can withdraw from this text. Everything that we do as Christians, the question may not be whether it's good for us. The question would be whether this specific activity I am doing, is it giving glory to the Lord? And the second thing is to consider that this, what I am doing, is it going to build the relationship of other people? Is it gonna help them to grow up? And in our context, we know that there are many things that we are allowed to do. But please ask ourselves this question. Is this what we are doing giving glory to the Lord? And is this what we are doing not an obstacle to other to be saved? And this is what Paul is giving as an answer. And I remember in my own life 10 years ago, and that time I was a student, my uncle gave me a job. He told me to be a manager of his restaurant, and that restaurant was also a bar. And I worked for 4 months, and I understood that this kind of job was not fit for me as a Christian. And I left, I quit the job. But here, I think 3 months before, I saw one of my comrades who asked me, he told me, "Serge, I don't see you in that corner where we used to see in the former time." He didn't know that I was a worker in that bar. For him, I was also a customer. Then, as this day he's not seeing me in that bar, he's asking himself. And for me, I tried to explain to him. I don't know whether he was satisfied. But for me, the question that I am asking myself is, if, for example, that person would see me preaching like I am doing here, perhaps he would say, okay, then myself, I can be a preacher. This is the kind of preachers we have in Gomaville. Then I think to be a manager of a restaurant, a bar, I think it cannot be a big problem. But when I do it, I need to ask myself, is it this thing that, is it gonna give the glory to the Lord? Am I not becoming an obstacle to people who would give their life to God? And I saw many pictures of the evangelization you did here, and I saw that many of you were with children, street children, and so on. And when I was reading and preparing this, I asked myself, if we said to everybody not to go and look for street children, but to do the evangelization around our compound, to our neighbors, I think that would be very strong, because everyone in the church, and I don't know where, they can know that you are Christians. But perhaps some of your neighbors, they cannot accept that you are a Christian because of the behavior you have. Perhaps what you are doing is not sin, if you can say it like that, but as you behave, is not showing, is not giving the good appearance of a Christian, of someone who is able to say, as Paul said, just do as I do. And I think this is something that is very, very strong, to be able to say, do as I do. This is, I think, we just only need God to give us the strength enough to be in such a stage. Then as Christians, we need to take the great commitment so that we fit to the Great Commission. And that requires to check in our daily behavior what can be a stumbling block for others, and we need to remove it. And in our second reading of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, Paul is telling to Timothy to present himself as a worker who seeks to please God, not to please people. And this is like a contrary of what he said in Corinthians, not to please people, but to please whom? To please God. And the challenge here is not only to be approved, it is also to be a worker who has no need to be ashamed. As Christians, in whatever situation, let us not be ashamed as God's servants. And the question to everyone is, when can you be ashamed in the ministry? In which circumstances can you be ashamed as a kingdom worker? And I would like every one of us to, in himself, try to answer this question. But you need to remember that we are disciples and we have a mission to fulfill no matter what. We then need to be bold, to be courageous. And to be courageous here involves what Paul said. He said, to rightly handle the word of the truth. Rightly handle the word of the truth. And you have to note here that you cannot rightly handle the word of the truth if you are not a good learner of that truth, of the scriptures. And we know that Paul here, he's talking to Timothy, and we know that Timothy, in his young age, he was a learner of the scriptures. And Paul is recommended us here to deeper study the scripture of God. Then as disciples, we need to be aware of the Great Commission. We need to deeply study the Word of God. We need to study it diligently, not only to defend the faith, but also to be able to make the difference between what is a discussion that's worth and what is the discussion that is, it can be a distraction. And most of the time, when we discuss, for example, with the Jehovah Witnesses, we discuss with them, perhaps not in a way that will be that worth, but it can be just to discuss as people who are distracting themselves. And if we do so, then we are not good reader of the Bible. Because if we are good reader of the Bible, then we will know What is the discussion that's worth, and what is the discussion that is only the distraction? Then, in conclusion, a great Christian must be aware of the Great Commission. And the Great Commission, as you know, is to make disciples, to let other people glorify the same Lord, the one we are glorifying. And this demands great commitment. And we talked about to glorify God in whatever we do. The second thing was to make sure that we are not obstacles to others' salvations. And the last thing was to love and to deeply study the Word of God. Then let's end by reading these verses in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 8. 2 Peter 1, 5 to 8. The Bible says, "For this very reason, do your best to add goodness to your faith. To your goodness, add knowledge. To your knowledge, add self-control. To your self-control, add endurance. To your endurance, add godliness. To your godliness, add Christian affection. And to your Christian affection, add love." And the very important verse in this text is, "These are the qualities you need, and if you have them in abundance, they will make you active and effective in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus." May God bless you. Amen.